like to reconvene the Healthcare Workforce Commission. And if you had an opportunity to look at your agenda, you'll note that we had dedicated the afternoon portion of our meeting to looking at potential commission recommendations and a report outline. And to start out this discussion, again, if you could look at our preliminary report outline, it's our first draft. We're looking at five sections of the report, the last being recommendations, starting off with commission legislation, charge, membership, meetings, etc., general information, moving into an overview of Minnesota healthcare workforce, drawing on the experiences that we've had in the meetings prior to our final draft, and then item number three, looking at state spending on healthcare professional education and workforce development. So in looking at that draft, what we'd like to do with our commission members for the remainder of the afternoon is looking at potential recommendations. We do have a draft of that. But for those of you in the audience, our next meeting will be November 18th, same time from 10 to 3, and we'll be accepting public testimony at that time to our recommendations. And so as we go through today, you'll have a sampling of those in a draft form, and we'll have an opportunity to receive public testimony then on our meeting on November 18th. And again, to start out that discussion, I'd like to turn your attention to the first draft, which has draft in bold letters written across. Today what we'd like to do is go through each charge, talk a little bit about, as commission members, to add to those items, to discuss those items. And also, I'd like to point out that if you look at each of the charge statements, there is a short term for our 2014 report that's due in December, and then there is also directives for 2015-2016 as we continue with our work plan. So these would be long-term recommendations. The short-term recommendations for 2014 were things we would like to share with the legislature in the upcoming session or perhaps departments as needed. So to begin that discussion, if we look at charge number one, which is to identify current and anticipated healthcare workforce shortages by both provider type and geography. If we turn our attention to the short term, you'll see that we have identified one item there. State governments and relative partners should continue to track healthcare workforce supply and demand on an ongoing basis and to identify shortages and analyze how those changes in healthcare delivery affect workforce needs. So starting with the short term, any comments from commission members or additions that you would see under charge one that would fall under that short-term area? Yes, Senator Wicklund.
Yeah, can I ask a question, I guess more than a comment about it? I just wondered, will we be stating what we consider to be the shortages and the particular professions that we see the shortages in and the geography of them in somewhere in the report? And then is that going to be the basis for, you know, we can point to say, here's why we're recommending, you know, increasing funding to this particular program? Or is that, I guess I'm just wondering how much data is going to be in the report or in that?
If you would look at our preliminary report outline, item number two references an overview of Minnesota healthcare workforce drawing from presentations, background materials, and staff research. So in that area, we would present the type of information that you've just described.
Okay. Thanks.
Anything? Yeah, I think,
Mr. Representative Huntley,
that it's very important that we say where we got this information and mm-hmm. give the proper references. Doesn't mean we have to include everything in there, but
absolutely. Basing our decisions on data is extremely important. Yeah. Any other items to look at under the short term. And again, those of you in our audience, we will have that opportunity on November 18th for you to provide testimony as well. Yes, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, would that include then, you know, one of the questions today was the five-year rural, you know, and I think the answer to one of that was that that wasn't collected. So does this short term, or does it that better belong in the long term that we begin to, I mean, if that's what we're recognizing is family practice and family practice in the rural setting, is that a current data collection point, or does that need to be added?
Okay. Any comments from commission members on this?
Mr. Yes. Chair and Senator Kiffmeyer, I think this is an area, as with many, where we probably have some pieces of information and we don't have other mm-hmm. pieces. You know, if there's time, we can certainly inquire of some or all of the residency programs that we can contact and see if they have anything like this. We can certainly look in the national literature. We do have very complete information on one small subset of that group, which is the participants in the state's loan forgiveness program. We track them for up to 20 years. Mm-hmm. So, again, we'll probably have a little bit of be a little Swiss cheesy, but we'll put something in there.
Okay.
I think those are the type of recommendations we can make, definitely. Mm-hmm. When you look under that charge number one and look at the more long-term recommendations, we have one that speaks to creating a state medical education council, and then secondly, to look at compiling information on the state government spending on health professionals' education and training. Any comments under the long-term plans under number one? Or any additional recommendations? Yeah. Yes, Representative Huntley.
The first one there, that is in the MMA report. And
thank you.
People ought to read, or we ought to read the conclusions, not the, you know, I've read the whole report, but they have a page that has all their conclusions in it. And I think it's important for us to make sure that there's outside support for what we're doing, and MMA would be one of those.
And the MMA did share their report with us in an earlier meeting,
yes.
If I recall. So, yes. Yes, Senator Wicklin.
Just a comment. Maybe it would be prudent to also include. I know that their medical education council is focused on the physicians or hospitals. Should we include other professions, or could we broaden this to be more inclusive of other professions, nursing, physician assistants? I don't know, just different categories if we're going to create some kind of council or multiple councils. I'm not sure which would make more sense.
I think that's a good point. Senator Kiffmeyer had brought that up earlier today about we've been focusing perhaps a little bit too much on the physician needs, but we also earlier had looked at other types of the workforce needs in the entire medical area. And just as a reminder, I'm also sitting on the mental health task force as well. And we are about at the same point in time, except our report is due in January. We have a preliminary report that's out that we're responding to through the 24th. And I would like to then take that report, and we can share that with this group and perhaps look at how we might fold some of those recommendations into our report as well, because there is some crossover. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Just a footnote on kind of how this one ended up in the longer-term category. The Medical Association touched base with us at the Health Department about the National Governors Association project that you've also been informed about at this commission. That project is also looking at kind of what you could broadly call governance issues, and won't reach any conclusions about those issues again until probably about a year from now. So they seem to be some efficiency there in trying to sync all that up and put it on a little bit longer track.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, Representative Huntley.
I don't know if this fits in here, but was mentioned today about scribes, and I know there was an article in the newspaper in the last month on there is a company here in the Twin Cities that does prepare these people for that job, but is there going to be a shortage? And the other one, which we have not discussed, is a group called Medical Assistants. And there's a very interesting thing in, I forget, Idaho or Utah, where you go to the clinic, there's somebody there to greet you at the door, and they stay with you the entire time you're there visiting various, going to the lab, going to the doctor, going here, going there. And it seems to be very successful and greatly improves the ability of the patients to understand what's happening to them.
Representative Huntley,
if we could maybe get just an hour for the two of those, or half an hour, somebody could come in and talk about that.
We can do that, and we can certainly, you're going to start running out of time here, but we can work on that. We can also certainly, in this first bullet about tracking changes in the workforce, we can certainly make sure those are explicitly included as occupations to follow as things develop.
Very good.
Yeah, I think the one of the most important things or problems I see is when the all the nurses groups were in and some of the PA groups are in, and they were saying that we're training people for the future, but we don't know what the future is. That's a big problem.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, I think, especially in the light of, I thought it was a very valuable input this morning from the residents. And fourth year, especially medicine, you have that big difference between interns and residents and which year they are. But I noticed on your long-term, on charge one, when it says representing each of the state's medical schools, teaching hospitals, clinical training sites, I think we should specifically delineate residents, interns, because otherwise you're just getting it from this perspective. You're not getting it from those who are making those decisions on which practice they'll go into. So I think we can include the students or residents, interns, whatever word that is appropriate on that particular one. Is that where we're still on yet, is charge one?
Yes.
I was reading ahead and I lost my place for it. I'm sorry. Thank you.
We can certainly add that. And I would agree that was a good use of our time this morning. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts, recommendations for charge one? And again, we will have additional comments from the public at our next meeting.
Well, just on the state government spending, there are some states that, actually we send money to Mayo. I know Wisconsin sends money to the Medical College of, is that what it's called, Medical College of Wisconsin? So it's the one in Milwaukee, which is a not a state-run facility, but they get state money. We have most of our nursing programs. I think the biggest batch of nurses don't come out of public schools. it's just something to think about.
Okay. Any other comments? Let's move on then to charge two, which is to evaluate the effectiveness of incentives currently available to develop, attract, and retain a highly skilled healthcare workforce. And you'll note that we have, under short term, we have a recommendation to support continuation and growth where warranted of proven programs like loan forgiveness, rural physicians, associates program, etc. So looking at short term, any comments or additions? Senator Kiffmeyer.
One of the thoughts I have, it says support continuation and growth. What about discontinuing those that maybe have served their purpose, but there's an ample supply in one way or another and are no longer needed as an incentive, and maybe we can redirect those funds into some of these growth and other things. Otherwise, we're just going to accumulate and then we're going to not have an effective program here. But it seems like we should either redirect or reform or some sort of language that allows us to help direct towards that which is needed for the future, mm-hmm. not just because we did it 20 years in the past.
So you'd be looking for something evaluating the effectiveness of the programs.
And consider redirecting okay. funding. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? I'm looking at, you know, do we want to do a little thinking outside the box too? I mean, are there some things that we should be exploring mm-hmm. that perhaps we haven't touched upon? I'm not sure whether that would necessarily be short term, but maybe looking at the 2016 work plan, where we take a look at perhaps other states, other programs, mm-hmm. Do a search to see what else is out there that we might be missing.
I agree with that, Mr. Chairman. I think one of the examples today was from Mr. Myers, which had to do with Georgia's tax credits for
yes.
preceptors. I think is a good example of that, and
I agree.
Scribes is another area that is got some real benefit towards the future. I don't know that I think being aware of it at least, or
okay. Other thoughts? How about looking at the little bit longer range, the 2015-2016 work plan, regularly review the portfolio of state investments and health professions programs and institutes to assess the nature, scale, and effectiveness of the state's contribution to meeting health workforce needs. Comments? Additions?
I think, Mr. Chairman, this is another place where you got to evaluate for a purpose. And so if you find something that is maybe not as needed or whatever, consider redirecting or resources mm-hmm. to where the future need is. That's the biggest thing. I mean, we heard that many times, even on the federal level, that they're stuck in a mode of funding when everybody's crying out for the primary care in the rural, and we're stuck in funding and supporting that which has an ample supply, and then we're not funding that which has a need. So sometimes redirecting those resources has to be part of this.
Yes. And we're also missing the evaluation piece. It talks yeah. about review, but it doesn't talk about evaluate and redirecting, as you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm. If the purpose, Mr. Chairman, is the purpose of the program, I think of the rural, let's see where it's named here, the Rural Physicians Associate Program, especially things like that, you know, is it effective? What are the measurable mm-hmm. numbers? We start from here, do we go there? How many?
What?
Rather than just a goal, that's too vague to even know if you were successful.
Mm-hmm. And part of that goes to the charge number one, where we're looking at evaluating supply and demand and on an ongoing basis, so we're doing a better job of, mm-hmm. of maintaining some of those records and trends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay. Any other comments, recommendations? Let's then turn to charge three. This is study alternative incentives to develop, attract, and retain a highly skilled and diverse healthcare workforce. And you can see that we have quite a few items actually under the short-term report. We've got to explore public-private partnerships, target loan forgiveness and loan payment programs. I had talked earlier about Project Lead the Way to get more STEM education and biomedical interest in high schools. Support recommendations from our Mental Health Workforce Summit that I mentioned earlier. And consider the recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Committee that's ongoing currently on the University of Minnesota Medical School, and Representative Huntley is sits on that commission as well. I had added one myself after listening to this morning's presentation about preceptor recruitment, that perhaps we should look at how we go about recruiting more preceptors into the pipeline for the training purposes. So that was one recommendation that I had. But others that people might have or comments on what we have there already. Representative Huntley.
To follow up on your addition there, there's a couple of, I think, things that really struck me during this, and one is the problem with training sites as well.
Very good.
Yes. And that, which is really preceptors.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a major problem.
Yes. Yes. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think one of the areas here, and I'm not quite sure because there's both short-term and long-term, but one of the areas that is a tremendous need is in nursing homes. Our personal care assistants in nursing homes in particular. And again, I find that on the short term, there's a lot of primary care physician, a lot of those, but some of the other workforce areas, and the one I specifically think of is in nursing homes, that's particularly becoming a very difficult challenge for them. And I think I brought up one of the things the last time was that they used to require applicants for nursing schools to first have the CNA experience of background in the nursing home said they got a lot of really well-qualified people because they would come to the nursing home before or while they were going to school for a registered nurse. That policy has changed, according to them, and I'm hearing that not contradicted, and so that's hit them really, really hard. So maybe that's an area where sometimes we have loan forgiveness or we have, I don't know if there's a current program that we could maybe adapt or in some way help that we do that, because I know a lot of nurses, their first experience was in a nursing home, and it was a very helpful preparation for going on to hospital-based work, and it helps the nursing home. So some of those areas, I'm just bringing those two up, and so, Mr. Schoenbaum, I don't know quite how to put it into a language of recommendation or just where to put it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Schoenbaum.
Senator Kiffmeyer, just let me direct your attention on that charge three to the first bullet under long-term directions for 15-16, is on the subject you're talking about. It's pretty general and broad. I mean, why don't we have I'd be happy to have a conversation with you, and we can maybe make that more specific.
Mm-hmm.
Is that get towards where you want to go?
I think that would be very good.
And to your last question, your last thought specifically, one of the occupations that is eligible for a loan forgiveness in the state's loan forgiveness program is registered nurses. And rather than being required to work in a rural area or an inner city area, the service requirement for registered nurses is that they must work at least 3 years in a skilled nursing or intermediate care facility. It's a small program. The employers and the long-term care associations that use the program do tell us that it does have a different, it does make a difference for recruiting and some for retention.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, yeah, that is for when they graduate from nursing school. The area that I'm talking about is the personal care assistant or certified nursing assistant prior to going to nursing school. Because a lot of the nursing schools would were requiring that they have some of that hands-on experience, and largely where a lot of the applicants for nursing schools got that was at a nursing home, a skilled nursing facility. But when they dropped that requirement, then they lost their supply of CNAs that were future registered nurses potential, and they lost that requirement. So now they're having a real lack of those highly qualified CNAs. So this is before they go to nursing school, not an after.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kifaria, let's have a conversation and
okay.
get that in here.
All right. Okay. All right. Sure.
Very good. Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chair, I thought we had a program. I don't remember the details, that is aimed at taking people that are working in long-term care facilities and helping them get advanced, you know, a better degree so they can get paid more.
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, there is a program that has characteristics of that. It's operated by the Department of Human Services, and it's part of the Medicaid program, and it is a feature of the rate structure that provides employers with funds to make scholarships to their employees to pursue additional education and training. We've asked DHS for some details on that. We haven't received it yet. But maybe we can find those details and kind of include that in our conversation, Senator okay. Kiffmeyer. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, Senator Wicklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment about the, I think that it would be good if we could direct some efforts towards providing incentives for students earlier than medical school to look into, you know, the medical professions. I'm just wondering if Project Lead the Way, do we know that that's had some demonstrable value in attracting more students to STEM fields, or do we know if that's the only one? I guess I'm just wondering if that's, should we target a program or should we make it more open and do some research on what programs are available?
You know, we certainly can do that. Project Lead the Way is one that I'm familiar with, and it's fairly well known, you know, in the E-12, because there is an elementary, middle school, and high school component. And I actually attended the Blue Ribbon Commission last week at the University of Minnesota that Representative Huntley sits on, and this was one of the recommendations they talked about, was how do we encourage students before enter higher education to pursue, and they talked about specifically we need more STEM students, and so my thought immediately turned to Project Lead the Way, which is STEM driven, and they do have biomedical series of courses that would lead one into the medical field. I think that that is something that we can beef up, so to speak, by offering funding for high schools, because it is expensive. You need teacher training that usually is out of state during the summer months that you need to send your teacher to. There is curriculum, materials, supplies, and so on. But we certainly can look at other options, but this is one that struck me immediately based upon the conversation I heard at the Blue Ribbon Commission. But I know that in the Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan Public Schools, we do have a career development program. There is a medical careers program associated with that, and that might be another way of how do we duplicate that, how do we encourage other districts to adopt that, so we can certainly look at other options as well.
Thank you.
Other thoughts? If you look at the directions for 2015-2016, there are four items that are identified there. The first one, we've spent a little bit of time, Senator Kiffmeyer and Mr. Rosenbaum have talked about that. Schonbaum, sorry, I keep getting your name confused with others. Looking at a state response to meeting the workforce needs in long-term care and home and community-based services. The second item there is to analyze and respond to state barriers that may be slowing the growth of telehealth and meeting workforce needs. Third item is monitoring and evaluating the effects of the growth of team models of care. And lastly, evaluate how healthcare homes and accountable care organizations are working in all areas of the state. So those are four items that have been recommended. Other comments or additions? All right, hearing none. Let's move to charge four. And charge four is to identify current causes and potential solutions to barriers related to the primary care workforce, including but not limited to training and residency shortages, disparities in income between primary care and other providers, and lastly, negative perceptions of primary care among students. There are five recommendations under short-term: increase funding for family medicine residencies and similar programs, examine the feasibility of seeking a waiver from the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services that would provide for state management of GME distribution in Minnesota. Thirdly, sustain beyond 2014 the ACA recommended Medicare payment bump for primary care, which increases primary care Medicaid rates to Medicare levels for 2013-2014. And that is Minnesota Medical Association recommendation, as was to look at the waiver. And then this fourth item is also Minnesota Medical Association recommendation: increase the number of available clinical training sites in Minnesota and examine ways to remove barriers that exist in allowing medical students to have more meaningful experiences. And then lastly, assess the effectiveness of current MRC distribution of funds. So looking at those five recommendations, any clarification needed? Any additions? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the things that I found interesting today was hearing that pediatrics is considered family medicine. I always think of pediatrics as a specialty. I always think of primary care practice, family medicine. Little different, and you would take care of any family member or any child, but pediatrics was more of a specialty. So when we're increasing funding for family medicine residencies and similar programs, I'm a little bit concerned because I don't want to dilute our target. Our real desire here is to increase family practice medicine and what I would call maybe the classic definition, but do we need to make that a little more specific, or is it our intention to do the current?
Representative Huntley.
Pediatrics is sort of like the gentleman we had that was in general internal medicine, but then he decided he wanted to go in and specialize in GI. So general internal medicine is considered primary care, with a GI doc. It's not primary care, even though they have graduated from a residency program in general internal medicine. Pediatrics does the same. You can be get a residency in pediatrics and then subspecialize after that. And then you are no longer considered a primary care doc like a general pediatrician is. So, same, another, I have a acquaintance that is, has his residency in internal medicine, but then he specialized in diabetes. That's all he does, is diabetes. So mm-hmm. he's no longer a general. Mm-hmm. Kind of, and a lot of, not a lot, but many pediatric physicians subspecialize and only treat one particular kind of disease that the kid may have. So that there's a mm-hmm. debate about which is primary care, which isn't.
Yeah, I think we need to take a look at that, what our definition of primary care family practice, and maybe for one of our subsequent meetings, that could be part of a discussion. What does it currently include? And then obviously our goal is to say, is that still valid, or do we need a little tweaking or change in the direction to make sure we're targeting what are always limited resources to where the greatest need is? Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schoenbaum, does the department have a definition that they use?
Mr. Chair and members, there are a lot of definitions of primary care. You know, in our work, we also look at rural areas. There's a lot of definitions of rural, too. And primary care is somewhat similar. I think there is, clear consensus that family medicine, as Representative Huntley was saying, family medicine, general internal medicine, and general pediatrics, you know, are always primary care specialties. Some add psychiatry to that list. Some add OBGYN to that list. More are adding general surgery to that list, particularly in rural settings, and more are now adding geriatrics to that list. As in definitions of rural, when we're looking for the single consensus, it's very hard to find.
Thank you for that definite definition.
Yes. I think that could be a very fruitful, maybe when we have more members here as well, and mm-hmm. they have that. Okay. Especially when I hear about all the, quote, additions coming up, that's exactly the point. And you're diluting your, I don't know. I just get concerned about that.
I think what you're looking for, more targeted funding, and I think that's something we can manage.
That's kind of what we've been talking about in all these sessions that I've been to. In that direction.
And within that definition, perhaps we can even break down that target even more specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments, additions?
I was just reminded that there are also, as in definitions of rural, there are also at least one and probably more definitions of primary care in state statute. So I'm not sure that's any help, but...
Well, what would really help is if I could get a copy of each one of them to start from, so I know what they are and where they are. That'd be interesting.
Okay. Very good. Looking at long-term, we have one item. That's to identify and study expanding the scope of practice for healthcare workforce professions, and we did spend some time in this meeting and previous meetings just touching on that topic, expanding the scope of practice, but any comments, any additions for long-term study dealing with charge four?
Not right now.
Okay. Seeing no comments, Mr. Schoenbaum, we'll get an updated list for our next meeting.
Mr. Chair, yes, we'll add the discussion from today. I mean, obviously, this will remain a work in progress. You know, all of you that are here and the full membership also got this and a blank.
Yes.
That, you know, they could work from if they chose. And perhaps we should touch base with the people who were not here today and solicit their input and compile that all for the next meeting.
Very good. Yes. And once again, we'll look forward to public testimony on November 18th. We'll get the word out about the location for our meeting. And hearing no other business that we need to attend to today, meeting is